Hi, it's Sandy Rios, your old friend from The Morning Show. So many crucial and frightening events are unfolding before our eyes. I'd like to invite you to come over to the podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, so that we can work our way through these difficult times together. AFR.net, any podcast platform, or at sandyrios.com. And one more thing, my book, God's Velvet Hammer, is now available on Audible. So come join us at Sandy Rios 24/7, and remember, God's Velvet Hammer, available at Audible.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program here on the American Family Radio Network for this Tuesday, November the 12th, 2024. Tim Wildman here with Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Hello there, Tim.
Wesley Wildman.
Good morning.
And Chris Woodward.
Top of the morning to you.
All right. Top of the morning.
Yeah.
So you're a Brit now, are you?
Oui. Now I'm French.
Oui. Yeah.
I don't know. Is that a British saying, top of the morning?
Top of the morning, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
that's what I thought. Anyway, welcome to the program, everybody. So much to talk about. I forgot. Do we have any guests today? Yes or no? No, Jenna. Yeah, Jenna Ellis will be with us at the bottom of the hour, so we'll visit with her about some items in the news. What's the breaking news right now, though?
Breaking news is the judge's decision out of New York, Judge Juan Marchand. This is the hush money case in New York. The money paid to Stormy Daniels goes all the way back to 2016. Trump was convicted on those charges. The hearing today was about when the sentencing might occur. And what happened when the two parties, the lawyers for the two parties, prosecution and President Trump's lawyers, got in there this morning, they announced they'd been talking together and in the last few days. And the lawyers say both of them agree that with the election of Donald Trump to be the next president of the United States, that has kind of changed the dynamics. And I would think in the discussion is the immunity of a president to face charges. Anyway, the bottom line is the judge agreed to wait for a week for both sides, the prosecution and the defense, if they have new arguments to make. So a week from today, this judge, who's a rather controversial figure, is giving them a week to decide.
But he's not facing charges. He's already been convicted, right?
He's been convicted, yes. But it goes to whether he's going to be sentenced, or there is also a proposal to drop the charges as well.
So what's the worst possible case scenario, and what's the likely case scenario?
You know, with the Supreme Court ruling on the immunity issue, a lot of experts are saying this is not going to go anywhere.
Gotcha. So that's the likely, but what's the worst?
The worst could be is that this controversial judge who just loves the spotlight, that he will go ahead and issue a sentence of some type, but it'll be appealed.
It'll be the West Wing of Rikers.
Yeah,
basically.
Huh? Yes.
The famous prison in New York City. I'm kidding. Who knows what's going to happen here? This is a week from today. They've just postponed it for a week from today.
Yes.
Who knows? Maybe we'll ask Jenna about this. My guess is we've already been convicted, so he would have to be on appeal. Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe Trump and his lawyers would appeal this, and then it would just be suspended for 4 years. You know what I'm saying?
Could be.
Something like that.
Yep.
But so that's the New York hush money case.
Yes.
Go ahead, Chris. What do you got?
Well, meanwhile, President-elect Trump is making headlines for appointing various people to his coming administration. One of the latest headlines involves President-elect Trump tapping South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem to be Secretary of Homeland Security. This comes after he said he would bring Tom Homan back to be his quote-unquote border czar. Trump also wants Representative Lee Zeldin, former New York Representative Lee Zeldin, to be the head of the EPA. I actually have some sound here from Lee Zeldin. We don't have it yet, but it's coming, so stay tuned.
The EPA is the Environmental Protection Agency.
Yes. Going over some of the other appointments, Fox says that Trump is going to pick Florida Senator Marco Rubio to be Secretary of State. That would factor into last week's report that Mike Pompeo might be returning to the administration in a different role. Meanwhile, it's looking like North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum might be Interior Secretary or Energy Secretary. We're still waiting on all kinds of positions, but all right. these things are coming in.
Did you mention Stephen Miller?
Stephen Miller would be coming back to serve in a capacity. There was a story yesterday. Congressman Michael Waltz might be the national security advisor to Trump. So it's changed. I mean, we're getting all that. It's like drinking from a fire hose right now.
Yeah. What do you know about Stephen Miller, Wesley?
Well, about what the role that he could potentially serve or just in general?
Well, for those who don't know, who is he?
Well, he's currently a legal. He's got a legal firm.
Yeah, America First Legal.
Yeah, America First Legal. And he was previously in the last Trump. He was in the 2016 Trump administration as well. Mm-hmm. I just remember a couple of his clips going on CNN and other places defending the First Amendment in particular. And he is as good as it gets on that issue. And he's as simple as it gets on that issue.
Deputy Chief of Staff for Policy.
And that's what he was.
That's what he's
going to be doing.
Gotcha.
And he is a policy wonk, but he's one that you can listen to and
understand.
Yep.
He was very big in the first administration, and he'll be working closely with Tom Holman.
Yep, that's right.
He is credited with the idea of Remain in Mexico.
That's right. It was his idea.
Yes. So
he was also one that was in support of, and I'm not sure if he laid the groundwork or what his role was, but he was a big advocate of looking at certain countries that have an overwhelming population of terrorism and saying, hey, let's not fly in and out of those places. I mean, he's big on immigration. He's America First.
Yes. Yeah.
And he's excellent on that issue.
So yeah. his role is going to be what, Chris?
Deputy Chief of Staff for Policy.
In the new Trump administration, okay.
Yeah. But in between him serving in the first administration and now moving, he had started a legal firm. Mm-hmm. He was really big on helping. He was counter to his legal firm was counter to the woke movement.
Yes.
Yeah.
So and the discrimination that took place amongst essentially white people for being excluded from college campuses because of their
skin color.
And so he was a big advocate for that, but he's got a great sense of humor too.
Yes, the law firm America First Legal will continue in his absence should he move on up.
All right, so
that's a good one.
That's a good one.
Oh yeah,
that's a good one. So Kristi Noem, the governor of
South Dakota,
she will resign her post there, and be what now?
Deputy of Homeland Security Secretary.
Deputy or Homeland Security Secretary?
Yeah, Department of Homeland Security Secretary, excuse me.
That's a cabinet position.
It is, yes. It'll have to be confirmed, but Republicans have control of the Senate, so you might as well say that's a shoo-in, unless they find something on her between now and confirmation day.
Okay, so Kristi Noem.
Another one of my favorites, and I'm not sure where we're going here, but I'm just looking at some names here. Todd Homan. Is that how you pronounce it? Homan or Homan?
Yeah. Homan.
Homan. Todd Homan.
Tom?
Yeah,
Tom. Yeah, we played some clips. Todd or Tom?
Tom.
Tom. We played some clips from him yesterday.
Okay, good. I didn't get to hear that.
He's going
to
be the new, I'm going to call him the border sheriff.
That's right.
Yes.
My favorite clip of all time of him is him and AOC in 2018. Mm-hmm. In Trump's first term. When she's essentially interrogating him about what's going on at the border. You're separating families. He said, well, she asked him, what are you going to do about this? Did y'all play this yesterday?
No.
What are you going to do about when you run across families? Are you going to separate the kids and the family? That's not right. We shouldn't separate them. He said, he asked her, why don't we just send them all back together?
Mm-hmm.
And then in that same conversation, in that same back and forth, mm-hmm. he also said, he said, on a serious note, when you're in the country right now, he said, if I get caught, he was a police officer in New York City years ago. He said, if I get caught with drugs in my car, because I've broken the law and I have my child in the back seat. They're going to separate us. They're going to take me to prison.
If you break the law, break the law, bets are off.
Yeah, that's what. And
yeah, also with the
but he's
illegal immigrants. You know, if you come here illegally, you cross over the border and you know you're not documented, as they say, and you have children in tow. First of all, how do you know that that's the kids of the adults?
Parents,
and they're they're not child, they're not
trafficked.
How do you know this? I mean, who can check that? Who can verify that, this right. kinds of things? So I think that was just a ploy by the left.
But he handled that exceptionally well.
Yeah, he did. He just a ploy. Then remember AOC going to the border and crying and all this, saying they're drinking out of toilets and all this stuff. Just all she was trying to do was make Trump look bad at the time. And actually, as it turns out, the same policies, at least when they had these people in the holding areas, existed under Obama and then also under Biden.
Yes. All right, he's gonna enforce the rules though.
But now
I think he'll enforce the rules.
Tom Holman, yeah. So we've got Marco Rubio now.
Yes, and that is
little Marco.
Little Marco, as Trump called him back in 2016, and for a couple of years after that, they were the best of frenemies. Although he was, you know, had some things to say about Ted Cruz and some other people, he has since made up with. It would have seemed publicly anyway. I saw a lot of people posting about Rubio last night, and these are just Joe Sixpacks. But many people seem to be pleased with the idea of having a guy who is always siding with Israel in conflicts with Hamas and other terrorists as being, hey, I'd like that guy to be our Secretary of State. So that one seems to be getting some positive response on social media, where a lot of younger voters tend to hang out.
All right, so Senator Marco Rubio from Florida will be the Secretary of State. Mm-hmm. Fred, what do you think about that?
I think it's going to be fantastic, as Chris has pointed out. When it comes to Israel, I think what we're going to see is such a refreshing change in that it's going to be unequivocal support for Israel. There will not be any threats, as there has been under the Biden administration and under the current Secretary of State, of withdrawing weapons from Israel in its fight against Islamic terrorism. There is a reason why when last Tuesday night, a week ago, when it became clear that Donald Trump was being elected to another term in office, that the first phone call from a foreign leader he received was from Prime Minister Netanyahu. So it's so far what we are seeing in the selections that President-elect Trump is making is very consistent with the promises that he has made, very consistent with the policies he wants to put in place, not only foreign policies, but also border policy. Tom Holman has been on Fox like once a week for the last 4 years, critical of what Biden wasn't doing on the border or was doing on the border. So it was no surprise at all that he was selected as border czar. So you're seeing people, and Kristi Noem also. Kristi Noem is one of those governors who has said, you know, the border problem has moved to the northern states.
Yeah,
she was there. She is very consistent on that front. So he is putting people in place consistent with the policies that he said would be in place when he was running again for president.
Okay, I've been told we have some audio now. A moment ago, I talked about Lee Zeldin. Now, the EPA is a small little agency. It hasn't been around nearly as long as some of the other places that are cabinet positions as well. But pretty much everything the EPA wants to regulate impacts everybody and then some, from industries to businesses and consumers. And so this is an important pick here, and somebody that will be in charge of running the EPA is apparently going to be former New York Representative Lee Zeldin. He spoke with Fox News and shared this information here about when he got the call from Trump saying, hey, I want you at EPA. Clip 8.
Now, President Trump, when he called me up, he was rattling off 15, 20 different priorities, a clear focus. You know, he wasn't reading off of some sheet. It's the top of his head. And if I challenged him to give me 50 more ideas of what to do with this agency to improve the economy, I'm confident he would have done that. This is going to be a great 4 years for America. It's not just about a great day one or a great first 100 days. I have a feeling that we're on the verge of what could be the greatest 4 years we've ever seen of any president in the White House.
What's interesting here, hearing about Zeldin talk about the economy, Zeldin had a failed campaign against Kathy Hochul for governor, but he did much better than many Republicans do in races for governor in New York. And one of the issues that he made a big issue, he almost unseated Hochul over this, was the economy. We have to do things to make things better for people, and EPA policies will impact all of us and our pocketbooks.
Lee Zeldin there, the gentleman you're hearing from, is a congressman from New York. I think a congressman.
He's former.
He left to run for governor.
Former Republican congressman from the state of New York. He ran for governor. Almost won in a blue state. But that was him commenting there. Back to Marco Rubio for just a minute. So that's a very important position in any presidential administration, that is Secretary of State, because that individual is basically responsible for international affairs.
Right. Yes.
And is the number one ambassador for the president around the world. It's a big, big, big job, okay? So, but Marco Rubio has a lot of experience in the United States Senate. He knows what's going on, or he knows who the players are. Now, here's the thing, is that, yes, he's very supportive of Israel, so that's a very good thing, and he is a patriot. I'm talking about Marco Rubio. Now, I don't know exactly how they're going to work out the Russia-Ukraine situation, because that's going to be one of the top priorities, I think, for President Trump and soon-to-be Secretary of State Marco Rubio. I did hear Rubio basically say, I'm about quoting him here, he said, I'm not on the side of Putin, but basically Ukraine is not in a position to make demands in this situation. They're going to have to give up some land in order to bring this war to an end. Is that what you heard?
Yeah, that eastern segment of what is Ukraine right now, people who have lived in that eastern segment of Ukraine have been pro-Russia long before Putin carried out his invasion.
Yeah.
So there is a belief that it is possible to end this war by giving that segment to Russia. That would appease, this is the speculation, that would appease Putin. He would withdraw his forces. Zelensky may not like that, but I think everybody is anxious to get this war over. I do not think that President-elect Donald Trump wants to continue sending hundreds of millions of dollars to help weaponize Ukraine. They just want this over with. In fact, Canada Trump said a number of times, he said, if I'm elected, within a matter of weeks, Ukrainian war will be over.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to use his influence with Putin. I think there is going to be some, and it's not just Russia, it's Russia-Iran. They have this linkage together right now with oil and gas. So there's going to be a bunch of stuff. I think Trump is going to go hard on Iran. He's going to make a deal with Putin, and we may see the end of this Ukrainian war.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. So I would ask, so far the announcements for the cabinet positions and the administrative leadership positions that aren't necessarily cabinet look to be kind of what we would have expected from President Trump, right?
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Absolutely. It's very interesting. I was just watching there. John Fetterman, who is the Democrat senator from Pennsylvania.
Right.
He says, I certainly have differences with my Republican friends, but he says Marco Rubio will be a great Secretary of State.
Yeah.
Adam Kinziger, that was part of the J6 committee against Trump, also referred to it as a good pick. I posted that on our Facebook page.
Just to take us back a moment, it's just another Tuesday here, but we were just a couple of days away, about a week or so ago, we could have very well moved into another term in which we would have added 17 to 18 more million illegal immigrants, which would have increased the, crime, obviously potential to terrorism attacks, all those things. But instead, we're sitting here on the radio, and we've got Tom Homan as our, border czar, so to speak. So yep.
I wonder who, it's going to fall on Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida to replace the Senate seat that Marco Rubio will be giving up to take a Secretary of State's role. So, I was reading last night about this. Of course, obviously, it will remain in Republican hands, that Senate seat in Florida, and it will be a solid conservative because Governor DeSantis will be the one appointing that person. And the talk is that he might appoint his chief of staff, and maybe that is to fill out the 2-year term remaining for Marco Rubio in Florida, and then maybe then Governor DeSantis himself would run mm-hmm. for that Senate seat. The other option is to appoint yourself.
Well, you pointed out yesterday, Tim, that DeSantis only has
2 years.
2 years left.
He's served 6 years. You can only serve 8 mm-hmm. as governor, and he served 6. So, you know, the question would be for Governor DeSantis, where do you go from here in terms of your political career if you want to continue in politics? And it seems to me like maybe that is an option. Maybe he finishes out his term as governor, appoints his chief of staff in Florida. I forget the gentleman's name, as the interim mm-hmm. senator for 2 years, with the understanding that DeSantis himself would run after his governorship is up. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Is it James Uthmeyer?
Yeah, James Uthmeyer. That's the gentleman's name. That's the chief of staff for DeSantis in Florida.
There is a sort of precedent for a governor appointing himself in recent years to be a senator when there is a vacancy.
What was that precedent? What was that?
Okay. When Ben Sasse left the Senate to be the head of the University of Florida, Governor Pete Ricketts made himself Senator Pete Ricketts, and they have since had a replacement for governor.
All right. So people don't like that, generally speaking. People don't like you appointing yourself mm-hmm. to something that should be the call of the people to vote on. So...
But would that not be temporary until they did have a chance to vote?
Yeah, it would be. It would be. But I thought maybe Governor DeSantis might appoint himself. But I'm thinking more likelihood is he'll finish out his 2 terms as governor, and then run in 2 years, appointing this gentleman with the understanding that he will be there 2 years. I don't know. I don't know exactly how that'll all play out, but we will see. But it is interesting. Now, you got 2 senators that are leaving that are Republicans. You got Marco Rubio. Gore said he'll be replaced. Then what will happen to Ohio? Because J.D. Vance, mm-hmm. the vice president-elect, his seat will be surrendered, so to speak. And now they do have a Republican governor in Ohio, Mike DeWine.
Yes.
So the Republicans, again, will maintain that Senate seat. But who will the... new senator be?
Well, there's some speculation that perhaps DeWine will pick Vivek Ramaswamy.
Yeah. Vivek Ramaswamy as a United States senator would be like the proverbial bull in a china closet.
There's a part of me that just for one day would like to see him be press secretary. Just well, for
that's true, too.
I'm with you there,
just
Chris.
Just on Fridays. Yeah. Bring out Vivek.
Fridays.
I think that would be hilarious.
He's your closure.
Bunch of clowns.
He's your closure for Friday.
Right. So, hey, go ahead.
What a stupid question.
I guess here in our conversation, and I haven't looked to see, I'm guessing that means Ron DeSantis is not going to be appointed anywhere, used in Trump's administration in any capacity?
I don't know. I don't know. Governor DeSantis said, I'm not campaigning for anything in that regard.
Okay.
We'll see. I think that Ron DeSantis would make an outstanding U.S. Attorney General.
Yes.
If Trump would call on him for that role. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, it could be interesting. You could see a couple of ladies run for governor of Florida. The Lieutenant Governor, Jeanette Nunez, Republican, Lieutenant Governor, but also Ashley Moody is the Attorney General. Many Attorneys General try to run for governor at some point.
Well, if DeSantis does not want to be the senator replacing Rubio, he will, you know, I'm sure he'll make that announcement and he'll put somebody in to serve out the 2 years, and then somebody who would be in good position to win in 2 years when that Senate seat has to be, you know, elected again in Florida. So, all right, we're going to take a short time out right here. Jenna Ellis will be with us in a few moments. You're listening to Today's Issues. Stay with us.
In many ways, abortion was on the ballot this past election, and there's reason for concern. There are many counties, cities, and states who have radicalized abortion, and thousands of tiny babies will continue to lose their lives every day. Which is why the Ministry of Preborn is on the front lines for at-risk babies and mothers with unplanned pregnancies. Preborn sponsors clinics positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country by providing them with the resources they need to rescue babies. Preborn continues to expand their life-affirming care. Their end-of-year goal is to equip 10 more clinics with ultrasound machines. These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most clinics can afford. When a woman meets her baby on ultrasound, she is twice as likely to choose life. And when she comes to a Preborn Network clinic, she will also be embraced with God's love. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and now through a match, your gift is doubled. How many babies can you save? Please donate. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com AFR. That's preborn.com AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim, here with Fred, Wesley, and Chris. And again, we thank you for joining us here on the program today. Well, joining us now is Jenna Ellis, host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning. Heard weekdays from 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time right here on American Family Radio. She covers the events of the day and also does so with a biblical worldview perspective, and talks to a lot of very interesting, knowledgeable folks. Not that she isn't, but she does talk to a lot of people that she knows. Jenna, good morning to you.
Good morning. Yeah, and it's always fun to talk to various people with different perspectives, because one thing I've definitely learned from my family, who's very diverse in our specialties, is that if you are the smartest person in the room or at the table, you better find a different room and different table.
Hey, Jenna, let me ask you this. We were talking about the Attorney General's position for President Trump, second term. He had William Barr, and who was the other one?
Jeff Sessions.
Jeff Sessions, and Trump trashed both those guys. He didn't like them at all. So that has to give somebody a little bit of pause in saying yes to President Trump to serve. But that's a very prestigious job, and one that a lot of people desire to have. So do you know who might be in the running for that position for President Trump?
Yeah, that is very true, that that accepting a position in the administration comes with a little bit of exposure risk, certainly at least to the mean tweets later on. So that's my suspicion as to why Senator Eric Schmidt took himself out of the runnings that he's focusing on, just being a great senator from Missouri. But there are a lot of other people who would desire the job, and it is very prestigious. The names that I have heard most prominently would be either Ken Paxton, who's the current state attorney general from Texas. I think he would do a phenomenal job. I also think that Andrew Bailey, who is the current attorney general of Missouri, would be an excellent choice. So probably a few other names in the running as well. Those have not yet been floated. We just know that Eric Schmidt took himself out of the running, at least. So right now, at least as far as the open discussion is concerned, Paxton seems to be the front runner.
Well, and Paxton and Trump have been tight for a long time. Now, so we do know that you mentioned if you're going to sign up to work for President Trump, and you worked for him for what, 2 years, Jenna? Something
I did,
like,
yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you don't have to comment on this. You can plead the Fifth Amendment. But it's just common knowledge. If you go to work for Trump, you're going to work for a very volatile personality. And,
yes.
And so, you know, you just got to take that. And I'm sure all the people taking these roles, doesn't mean you can't work with him. He had some, Mike Pompeo worked 4 years for President Trump and had a good relationship. But
so did Mike Pence, and you know,
yeah,
he
can turn on you. Trump can turn on you in a minute, and if he considers you to be quote disloyal. So I'm just saying, people are looking at that who are taking jobs for the administration, and you have to factor that into the consideration. So we'll see what happens there with the Attorney General's position. Ken Paxton seems to be a natural because he's an AG from a big state, Texas, and he and Trump have been, as I say, close friends for several years, and they're on the same page. It seemed to me like that would be a natural fit for the new Trump administration. Are there any other? Okay, now what's going to happen, Jenna, in Florida now that Senator Marco Rubio has been chosen to be the Secretary of State? I don't know when that will. Will that take place, like in January? Will he have to resign his Senate seat?
Yeah. So, of course, all of these positions are just looking forward to the next Trump administration. And some are just appointments without confirmation. Some do need the Senate confirmation, which is why tomorrow's election of a Senate majority leader is incredibly important, because for those nominations to actually go through smoothly and also quickly, because Trump is going to only have 2 years, at least that we know of, with a GOP trifecta and majority in the House and the Senate. It's going to be very important to get some of these nominations through as quickly as possible so he can get to the policy work, because, you know, of course, the mainstream media is focusing on all the drama. But really, for us as Christians and as conservatives and everyone who cares about our country, we would love to see a successful administration and him to actually do the work that he campaigned on without all of the drama that will inevitably come up.
Yeah.
But as far as Florida, yes, when and if Senator Marco Rubio resigns his seat, then Governor DeSantis can appoint that vacancy that would fill the remainder of the term until
what about
the
seat
is up for re-election.
What about
well,
can he appoint you?
He could. I'm the resident of Florida. He could. I have not asked for that job. I have no desire to go back to D.C., at least in the short term. Maybe 2028. Who knows?
Yeah. But what about, I guess what I'm driving at here is, I mentioned this before, Governor Ron DeSantis has 2 years left.
Right.
Okay, so in the governor's mansion. Okay, so could he possibly appoint himself to fill out Marco Rubio's Senate seat, or does that look bad?
I'm not aware of any
discussion on that front
for that, but I can say, you know, just knowing the governor and also, you know, those close to him, I don't think that he has any interest in cutting his governorship short.
Okay, gotcha.
Of course, he did run for president, but, you know, obviously that's a little bit different.
He would miss the hurricane recovery efforts. I mean, really,
yeah.
He would.
Well, and he wants to make sure that Florida remains as solidly conservative as it possibly can be, so he can hand that off to the next administration, whoever that is. But one of the main names that's being floated is James Uthmeyer, who is a great conservative, actually worked in the Trump administration previously, is his current chief of staff. And I think that is an excellent selection if that ultimately comes to fruition.
He is the chief of staff right now for Governor DeSantis.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. Go ahead, Fred.
Jenna, Fred here. I have a question. Tom Holman going to be the border czar in charge of deportation. He's out there talking tough that he is going to turn things around with regards to the invasion that was orchestrated by the Biden administration. As soon as his name was announced, you had Democrat governors like Newsom in California, Hochul in New York saying, you better not come to our state, we're sanctuary states, you better not touch our people. When it comes down to federal state rights, what can these governors do to quash the efforts of Tom Holman and the Biden administration, pardon me, the Trump administration, to go after these illegals?
Yeah, well, you know, this is one issue that constitutionally is bifurcated, or you know, there's powers that are both federal and state, but that comes down to securing your border. And so when someone is here illegally, that is a federal issue, and so it really shouldn't matter whether a state or you know, the mayor or the governor says this is a sanctuary state. They're violating federal law, and so Article 1, Section 8 gives the uniform rule of immigration and naturalization to the Congress, and then it's the executive branch on the federal level that can enforce it. And so so I think that you're going to see some of those challenges ultimately go through the federal courts, even like they did for Obama, who wanted to pass basically the DREAM Act without it going through Congress and just basically give amnesty to everyone without actually looking at it on a case-by-case basis. Supreme Court said no to that. So I think you're going to ultimately see this being litigated a lot in the judiciary. But from a constitutional perspective, certainly if someone is here illegally and they go through, you know, the process, which to me should just be as simple as saying, you know, you gotta go. There isn't a lot that the state should be able to do to prevent that.
Okay. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Anybody got any more questions for Jenna here?
No, well, we need to mention, because it's fairly new, she does have a podcast that's separate from her program.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Yes, thank you. So it's called On Demand with Jenna Ellis, because we address your issues on demand, do a deep dive. And so we've addressed the question of federalism. You can go and listen to that one. We had Representative Tom Tiffany from Congress on last week talking about the legislative priorities. And we're looking at Trump's staffing picks and doing a deeper dive into some of these people. So if you know, you've heard a lot of these people, you're not really sure what to make of them, that's our topic for this week. So it's called On Demand with Jenna Ellis. You can go to AFR.net or download our free app, and you can stream it there. It's also on our streaming platform. And just click that icon for podcasts and then look for it on demand. And you can also, if you have a question and want to know more about a subject, whether it's, you know, law, policy, culture, biblical worldview, you can submit your suggestions to Jenna@AFR.net, because we've answered a few of our listeners' questions so far.
All right. Thanks, Jenna. Appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks so much, guys.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's Jenna Ellis joining us from the Sunshine State, Florida. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Next story, Chris.
Well, while the economy and the border were two big issues that drove a lot of people, millions of people, as a matter of fact, to the polls in November, some Americans were concerned about the transgender push. There is a movement out there that wants gender manipulation of minors to become the standard across these United States of America. Many people are also in favor of males and female sports. Somebody that thinks both of those things is a bad idea is Terry Schilling of American Principles Project. And Terry's been in the news for a couple of days now because American Principles Project, to its credit, was the reason why Trump got as heavily involved in fighting gender manipulation of minors in men and women's sports. And I've got some audio of here. I have some audio here of Terry Schilling of American Principles Project talking to AFN about this very thing. Clip 12.
We had a meeting with President Trump to film part of our documentary on the woke culture war that the left has been waging in our military. And we had about 15 minutes with President Trump, and I was able to present him a few things. One was a research project on the transgender industry and how much money they were making. It's over $4.5 billion. But the other thing I gave him was the vote impact report from our 2022 involvement, running ads on women's sports and transgender procedures for minors. And I was blown away at how much he understood this issue. He's well aware of how important it is to protect our children, and he's also well aware of how smart this is politically, but it's not the motivating factor for him. President Trump really does want to make America great again, and that starts with making our families great again.
Who is that?
It's Terry Schilling of American Principles Project, somebody that co-signs many of the letters that you and other people here sign to President Trump and other people.
Yeah. Is that it, guys? We got blank. We got nothing to say about this.
It was well said.
Yes.
Well said. We got nothing to add to that.
Okay. I have posted that on our today's.
If we add anything to that, it becomes bad radio quick.
Absolutely noted.
Yeah.
All right.
What we could do if you feel necessary, we could play it again.
No. I have plenty more.
You got more?
You got more? Okay.
I demand equal time. Yeah. Okay. Speaking of males and female sports, there's a school that's been in the news a lot for a couple of months now, San Jose State. And that's because they have a male on the female volleyball team. And as a result of San Jose State having a male on the female volleyball team, many female volleyball teams have forfeited their matches against San Jose State because they say it's not fair. It's dangerous for us to be playing against a man. It's a violation of our Title IX rights. And somebody on the San Jose State coaching staff is a lady named Melissa Beatty Smooths. She's been suspended.
Who? Melissa what?
Melissa Beatty Smooths.
It's definitely like
S-E.
That's a rap.
It could be Smoozy.
I think.
It's definitely a distraction to the story.
Baby Smooth.
Either way, Melissa has been, she's been suspended after speaking out against this, saying, hey, it's not right to have men in female sports. And our new reporter, Bronson Woodruff.
Excuse me for interrupting you. Just, okay. So this transgendered player, which is a male, says he's a girl, mm-hmm. and he plays on the volleyball team for San Jose State.
Yes.
Right? And the person you're quoting as criticizing this is who?
Melissa Beatty Smoozy. She's part of the San Jose State staff there, a coach.
Okay, so she's criticizing her own school?
Yes.
While she's on staff?
Correct.
She get fired?
She has been suspended indefinitely after she filed a Title IX complaint against the school.
I mean, good for her.
Yeah.
That's very brave of her for standing up for what's right there.
Melissa, whose last name I will not say again, Melissa says that Blair Fleming, the team's transgender player, conspired with an opponent to help the team lose a match and injure a teammate by the name of Brooke Slusser.
Yeah.
I'll post this on our Facebook page.
Okay. The name that we're having fun with, her last name is Beatty, B-A-T-I-E.
Smoozy.
S-M-O-O-S-E, so it's not baby. baby Smooze. Yeah. But so, baby. Listen, this on a serious note, this is a turning point here,
yes.
I think, mm-hmm. in this country, because the woke crowd had been putting all the pressure on normal people to accept this idea that in sports, be it junior high school, college, or whatever, that we should accept boys calling themselves girls and playing on the girls' sports teams and showering with the girls and going to the girls' locker room and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, and what we got to make note of is because for many years as they were living their transgender life, that was by and large. While it was repulsive to a lot of people, by and large, that was something they did on their own time. It's when they brought this into the schools and they expected everybody to adapt. What you're seeing is what you're describing now, and that's that they're being.
This common sense is prevailing.
Right. Yes, right.
And and so what you got going on here, even in liberal states, and even among some people who would otherwise call themselves liberal. They're saying this is a bridge too far,
right.
and we're not going down this road. As you say, live and let live. If somebody wants to, put on a dress and lipstick and say I'm a girl, I'm a woman, then that's, and they're an adult, then they'll have to live with those consequences of their choices. But we're not going to allow this to.
Well, the be point I was making
forced upon the students.
The point I was getting at is that. While they were living, let living, they were acting like we're all equal, but this is proving the case that we're not. Men and women are not equal.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't see any women.
But this is making them uncomfortable. Talking about the transgender people, because they're now having to face the reality of what we've been saying all along as Christians, that as you transition, that's not the right thing. That's not right.
It's more than Christians, though.
Well, sure.
It's the general public is saying, no, this is not fair. It's not right. We don't accept this. This did play a role in the election last week.
It did.
Between Trump and Harris, because Harris came out, saying that she was for tax dollars paying for transgendered surgeries for illegal immigrants who were in prison.
Yes.
I mean, mm-hmm. It was the most Remember that television ad?
Yeah.
It was very, very effective. Whoever came up with that for Trump, that was a very effective television ad, just showing how radical Harris was and much of the Democrat Party, not all of it.
Right.
Some of the Democrat Party now is saying we got to get away from all this woke garbage and get back to bread and butter issues if we're going to win back the American people, Fred.
It's going to be interesting to see. I agree with you that that ad that you talked about was played in places like Atlanta, and some people say it's why the black male vote moved in the direction of Trump because...
More than they otherwise would.
More than they otherwise would. But here's what's going to be interesting. I think the new Attorney General, unlike Attorney General Garland, is not going to go after parents. Garland did, parents who spoke out against this. I think the new Attorney General will support parents who oppose this nonsense. However, the issue is going to still end up in court because you've got the ACLU and others who are going to go to court. And they're going to argue under Title IX, all of those sorts of things that they go to court over. So in the end, it's going to be decided in the courts as to what happens next in this story. Mm-hmm. Has transgender rights. Cool. And I think we're going to see this fairly quickly because I think the Trump administration has been quite open. They're going to deal with this woke nonsense, but there is going to be a legal challenge over this, and we'll see what the courts have to say.
Well, we've seen these types of issues the last 5 or 6 years in track. We've seen it in basketball as well. So is there not already, are these cases that have been coming up, are they handled one at a time, like state by state?
In many cases, yes. I can point to one that may actually eventually go to the Supreme Court over this very issue of dudes and women's sports. There is a case that Alliance Defending Freedom has long been involved with four female athletes, all track stars from Connecticut, that are finally going to have their day in court. The Second Circuit Court of Appeals just told a lower court, hey, you have to hear these girls' Title IX case because these girls are claiming their Title IX rights are being violated. Title IX being law that's been around for longer than Wesley and I have been alive, saying a woman or a female has equal footing in schools and should be able to compete against other females in sports. And their argument is, if I'm having to play a male, I'm losing to him left and right, no matter the sport, and this is a violation of my Title IX rights. That one is probably the one that I think will go to the Supreme Court because it's the closest to it at this point.
I'm reading here since 2020, 23 states have passed laws restricting transgender athletes' mm-hmm. ability to participate in school sports. But is that college or high school?
It depends on the state.
Yeah, or college maybe. But what the problem you run into is like San Jose State, mm-hmm. they have the guy who's on the girls' team who says he's a girl. Okay, I have to say that.
You have to.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And so the problem is when you have colleges, you have conferences in multi-state. I mean, excuse me, you have schools that are in multi-states. Out there you got California, Utah, Arizona, I don't know what, Nevada. So they're having to. You might have a good law in one state, but then the other state doesn't have a good law protecting girls' sports. So anyway, this whole issue has backfired tremendously. I think it's going to be stopped, pretty well stopped, because of the election last Tuesday. And there's a lot of things that the executive branch of the federal government does that you never hear or see. Which impact our lives. And President Trump will stop all the woke garbage. He will stop. Yep. His administration will stop all the woke garbage. Now, it'll take them a little bit of time here, but they will. You remember that Biden and Harris, we've talked about this ad nauseum, but this was very important because it had Harris won. Oh, my goodness gracious. This would have been a full... I mean, they would have come after conservatives and Christians with a vengeance. It would have been
Department of Education.
It would have been miserable for many people in our country had she won because of what she would have done. But what they did do, remember this? Harris and Biden They told the Department of Health and Human Services, which is a federal agency, Harris and Biden said, you tell the states that if they don't allow transgendered to play on girls' sports teams, that we're going to cut off the federal dollars that they would get for their state to do things like pay for lunches and food and all kinds of services.
More or less extortion.
Yeah, it was, exactly. That's a good word for it. So they were using, Harris and Biden were using the federal government to impose on the states, you know, either, a lot of the states depend on that federal money for to help people.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's where Governor Ron DeSantis said, well, if you want to do that, you go ahead, but we're not following that rule.
Yes, he did, and some other governors and attorney generals did, but Governor Ron DeSantis was one of the first ones to say, he said, when they told him this, he said, well, we won't comply. We, Florida, will not comply with this.
Right.
So I don't know where that is in the courts right now, because there was a court case by several states filed against Harris and Biden and the Health and Human Services. Yep. So I'm just saying, the election last Tuesday has huge ramifications on many fronts.
Yes.
And somebody said this morning, we got a reprieve.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, we've got a reprieve.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't it be interesting if it comes down to the Supreme Court deciding this, that biology finally wins the day?
I think it will if the Supreme Court is composed as it is now.
Yes.
Can I just point something out? Do y'all realize just how less our blood pressure's been up today since we have a new administration?
Right. Well, we still got a couple months, but yeah.
I know. Yes. No. Sure.
Yeah. Yes. I half joke about this, but I'm curious to see whether or not a males and female sports makes its way to the U.S. Supreme Court, because Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, who can't define what a woman is, will be one of the justices to help decide that case.
Well, that's part of the insanity of the left. You have a United States Supreme Court justice that Biden appointed who said openly at a Senate testimony, I don't know what a woman is, while she herself is a woman. She said, I don't know what a woman is. That's how this is a brain disease.
Yes. It is.
You know, and it affects even somebody to be on the Supreme Court.
You think she would be proud to be a woman?
I know.
She said,
I don't know
what a woman is.
That's like, and because she said, what? I'm not a what?
I'm not a biologist.
And I thought to me, that's like me, somebody asking me, do you know what a tornado is? And I say, well, I don't, because I'm not a meteorologist. I mean, that's the kind of nuttiness that represents. We'll be back in a minute.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.